Hey, before we get into the podcast this week, just a quick note, the audio, we had some issues with it this week, so the content is great, the audio quality, not so much, but we'll make sure to work on that for next week. So, without further ado.
Jake!
Hello.
Hey, you preached on Sunday.
Yes.
How did it go for our church? How did you do? How did... Delete this. Delete this on me. Hey everyone, welcome to the Midtown Midweek, where, you know, three best friends just hang out on some couches and chat about the sermon from this past Sunday. I am your host, Melissa Fennell, joined by my co-host, Jake Blair.
What up? I'm one of the best friends.
One of the best friends.
This is merch that someone can make for us. You know how we got a Columbia You'd Rather Be Here mug?
Oh yeah.
I'm picturing a sticker.
Okay.
Or a t-shirt of three best friends sitting on a couch with microphones.
Wow.
And then we title it Midweek Podcast. With us, Pastor Brandon Clements from Midtown Lexington. How are we doing, Brandon?
I'm fantastic. So glad to be here as always.
So we didn't have anyone fill out anything on the midweek form this week, and that's okay, but we it's not okay. And thank you for saying that. And it's okay that it's not okay, but it's not okay to stay that way.
So that's right. Sure, so to fill it out this week.
Fill it out. We'll talk about it. I did get an encouraging text from someone about the midweek.
So the best.
I know. So great. I thought I could read that out loud for us. But this person said, I told Melly this last weekend, but you and her have great podcast chemistry. It's really, really good and fun and an encouraging podcast. You're doing a great job. So how about that? This person says we have great chemistry. What do you think about that, Melly?
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. Thank you for that person who texted us. And we'd love to hear from you as far as how you Sabbath, local spots you recommend, questions, comments about the series. That's what this is here for. In light of that, our corporate practice for this series is Sabbathing, like we've been highlighting the last few weeks. And would love to hear just how did our Sabbaths go? And even Brandon, I'd love to hear from you as far as would have been helpful Sabbath practices for you and your family. This is something that takes time figuring out and just knowing your season of life. And if you have a family, you got to figure out what does Sabbathing look like for us. But we'd love to hear from you. What does Sabbathing look like for you and your family?
Yeah, so we have a rhythm on the best Sabbaths of that we follow. And I'm not always as disciplined about it as we should be, but Friday night to Saturday night, basically. And so, you know, Friday in our family is laundry day, which I talked about in the sermon in Lexington, like try to get all of our no fun chores knocked out so that we can actually take a break and rest and not have to do anything that's no fun. And so my kids know that Friday afternoon is put up laundry time and they protest against that and I do it anyway. And then we try to get that over, all of that stuff over with, and then have a start to our Sabbath Friday evening with dinner and, you know, whether we're going to soccer practice or just, you know, hanging out at home or whatever, like this is the beginning of our Sabbath. And the goal here is to rest and enjoy God, enjoy each other. And then Saturday morning, typically, you know, we have a pretty good routine of get up and go to the gym Saturday morning. It's just a fun thing for Christy and I to do together. I go to a women's gym. I'm very confident in my masculinity. It's called
Is it Curves?
No, it's called Burn Boot Camp.
Yeah,
okay. There it is. It's Curves. So it's a women's gym that has certain camps that men are able to go to.
Okay.
So men can join for full price, but only go to like 1/12 of the camps that they have.
Okay.
Which, you know.
Sold.
You might kind of frame as discrimination.
You do it to love your wife.
That's right. That's right.
To love your wife.
That's right. Yeah. But it just so happens that I can go to enough of those camps, particularly after work during the week and then on Saturdays, that it makes it totally worth it. They do free childcare, which is half of the reason why we're there. Let's be honest. We have four young kids.
Yeah.
And it is a fantastic workout. And it's just very healthy for us. And so we go, you know, a few times a week. My wife goes a lot more than I do, but it's a Saturday morning routine. Get up and drink her coffee, and I drink my coffee while I'm working out with the ladies, and you know, maybe one or two other men that are there. And
this mental image is incredible.
I want to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, it's great. We have the trainer picks on me a lot because she thinks I don't do things right, or you know, that I'm not working hard enough, and I just do not care.
Yeah,
I mean, like Christy's all competitive there, and like she's trying to like beat people, and I'm I just like I want to do
drinking
what I
coffee.
Want. Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. I want to do what I want to do. If there's a thing that I don't like, I don't really want to do that. I'll do something else. And so I'm a bit of a rebel at the gym. Yeah, I could talk all day about Burn Boot Camp and you know what it's like to work
that's
out at a women's gym.
Podcast for another day.
But we usually do that on Saturday mornings, and then we'll leave there and we'll typically go to Clean Juice in Lexington, which is a fantastic smoothie and healthy food place.
Yeah.
Get a little breakfast snack or brunch there, and usually just sit outside with the kids and let them run around and enjoy a little nice post-workout meal. And then we're typically hanging at our house the rest of the day, you know, maybe watch some football. I tend to do some yard work on Saturdays, which is, you know, technically work, but it doesn't feel like work to me. You know, we work with our heads most of the week. And so for me, yard work is so restorative, and cutting the grass is just, you know, so much fun. And, you know, I'm like waving to Christy inside. I'm like, how is it in there? You good? Mm-hmm. You know, this is taking forever. Sorry.
Yeah.
Taking my sweet time out there on the lawnmower and getting some podcast time or whatever. And
yeah, as far as like that upward element. So I'm thinking about families with young kids, and how do we make that something to where it feeds our souls, and so that our kids can see that? Are there any helpful things that you've done to sort of direct your kids sort of upward to think about this day?
Yeah. So we're still growing in that. I think the trying to lean into spiritual conversations around meals, you know, is a helpful way to start, you know, like talking about the purpose of the Sabbath and why are we doing this, and how do we, you know, rest in God and enjoy Him and enjoy each other and enjoy the gifts He's given us and all of that. And, you know, but right now with the age that our kids are, I think, you know, the primary thing I'm trying to get across to them is that this day is different. Mm-hmm. And it's different because of God, and it belongs to Him, and we honor Him by resting and being with Him on this day. And so that's the primary thing we're trying to accomplish at this stage.
Yeah, that's great. Me and my family, we've been doing this a couple years. We have a script that we do, and it's great because at this point, like, our 3-year-old knows the right answer. We usually like spread the blankets out in front of the TV on Saturday night. We'll have popcorn or pizza. And then the script is, all right, kids, what is special about today? The answer, Sabbath. And what is Sabbath in Hebrew? Shabbat. What does Shabbat mean? To stop. What are we stopping from? Work. So that we can do what? Enjoy God and our family. And then I say, so what's one thing you're really thankful to God for this week? Everyone goes around. And then I heard this tradition. I don't know like where it is exactly. Modern Jewish culture will like light a candle to celebrate the beginning of Shabbat.
Right.
And so while we're doing this, I am lighting a candle, and then we will sing God our Father or the doxology. We'll all sing that together as a family. And then one kid gets to blow out the candle. And that's a way of sort of beginning the Sabbath.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
For us. And they get really excited blowing out the candle because it feels like it's a birthday or something. But that's been really helpful for us. And we're still figuring that out.
Love it.
I think that's really sweet. I'm like, oh, that's cute with the candle. I like that.
Yeah.
And it gives them like something to participate in. And that's really great.
Yeah. We'll have you over sometime. Because usually it looks like Saturday evening we're watching a kid's movie on Netflix, and we're just constantly beating them with pizza and popcorn.
Incredible.
Only increase the podcast chemistry. So it seems like y'all should.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What do you think about that, Melly? Is that, I don't know, you want to do that?
Sure.
All right. All right. Well, let's get into the local spotlight for this week, because Columbia, you'd rather be here. This is the time in the podcast where we want to highlight a local business that we think is doing great stuff in our city. Melly, you have the spotlight for this week. What you got?
Okay. I don't know about great things for our city, but I do know great things for my office space. So Reese's Plants in Blythewood is I know we have a ton of plant lovers in our church family. And when I tell you, he has the best plants, like they're incredible and they're so green and they're so fun. And if you follow him on Instagram, all the time he does little half off sales, like really good ones. And like 2 weeks ago, Catherine at our Two Notch Church, we like took an hour and drove up there because they had their fiddle trees half off. And so we got four of them. Don't at me. And
these are like big,
yes,
big old plants, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're massive. But they were like $18. I mean,
you can't pass up.
Take my money.
Good deal.
And he's just like a really cool dude. Like he, if you ever like watch his videos on social media, he is just like walking through. I mean, so funny. So,
well, there you go. How about that?
Go
listener, you thought we were going to talk about another restaurant, but nope. We took a break. Now we're talking about plants.
That's right.
We'll get back to restaurants next week.
So there you go. Check that out. Info is in the show notes.
Oh, Jake, how did Sunday go?
Oh, it was so great.
I love to hear it.
This is a topic that I really like, and I wanted to make sure that I teach on this because this is something I'm really passionate about. Stuff that didn't make the final cut. There was a lot of stuff that didn't make the final cut, and even some books that I'm reading now talk about the Sabbath in really fun, interesting ways. So I have three things that the Sabbath is about. So I have on here that Sabbath as the center point of the Ten Commandments, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Sabbath as the end goal and Sabbath as the means. So Sabbath as the center point of the commandments. I've heard it said that commandments 1 through 4 are God related, like vertically in mind, how we worship God. Commandments 5 through 10 are about how we horizontally connect with other people. Hmm. But I think that is mostly right, but I think the Sabbath is kind of the mix of both. It's where we see both the vertical and the horizontal going on. We worship God, but we are doing this together. We're doing it with other people. So that's where I'm getting the Sabbath as the center point of the Ten Commandments. Also, Sabbath as the end goal. Sabbath, you'll notice commandment number 4 has more words in that than any of the other 10 commandments. Mm. And so that was really interesting. And then what I did was I counted in Old Testament interpretation. There's one sort of method like called literary structure, where you sort of take note of how many words are in a passage or in a book of the Bible, and sort of figure out how does the word count or the words interact with each other in the original language. So with this, I did a little experiment and I counted how many words are in the Hebrew of the Ten Commandments. And then what is the middle word in the Ten Commandments? And does that shed any light on anything? The middle word is in the Sabbath command, and the middle word in Hebrew is the seventh, which in Genesis 1 and 2, the idea of 7 has like huge, huge significance, pointing to creation, how God rested on the seventh day, how we are called to enter into that rest. And so when you hear the word 7, if you're a Jewish person reading the Hebrew Bible, your mind would immediately jump to, oh, 7, that's supposed to be the number of completeness, perfection. It's supposed to represent life with God, experiencing his presence and life to the fullest. And so in the Ten Commandments, the seventh is the middle word, the middle Hebrew word, and that's found in the Sabbath. So there is something, I think, where when we are gathering weekly, there has this sort of spiritual, sort of cosmic significance going on, that 7 is supposed to remind me about what life is supposed to be like with God in the garden, experiencing his presence, life to the fullest. And when I am Sabbathing weekly, I am sort of, in a sense, going back to the garden, like reminding myself of God's presence afresh for me. I think as New Testament believers, when you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 10, there's sort of this already not yet tension when it comes to Sabbath rest and it finding its fulfillment in Jesus. It's like we have that Sabbath rest in Jesus already, but one day we will experience it to the fullest when Jesus comes back free from sin, and we will experience sort of life in the garden to its extreme. Some people take the Sabbath and looking at Hebrews 4 and Hebrews 10 as ultimately it's about Jesus, so we don't necessarily need to obey this command because of, well, you know, Jesus fulfilled it and what Jesus says in Mark 2. It's like, we don't really have to obey that now as New Testament believers. But I think the connection here with it being around the seventh day, and there is something to the fact that when I step into this weekly rhythmic practice, I am experiencing a foretaste of what is in store for me one day when I'm with God. And I am experiencing a little bit of that now, life to the fullest. I'm experiencing rest in Jesus right now. So I think that's pretty incredible. That's what I mean when I say, like, Sabbath as the end goal. One day we're going to be with Jesus, experiencing his presence fully, full rest forever and ever. But Sabbath as the means of, and also the more I Sabbath each week, the more I get to, like, prep my soul for that one day. I think what's really interesting here, and this is just in something else that I read, that you think about how ever since 70 AD, when the temple was destroyed, that for almost 2,000 years, the Jews did not have a temple or a land to right. call their own, and yeah. they were scattered and persecuted. And article that I read basically said the reason why the Jews were able to continue being a society, even though they didn't have a land or a temple, and they were minorities in all over the world, the reason why that religion still held together was because they decided to still Sabbath every single week. And when they Sabbath together, it was the societal reinforcing means by which they held together as a
that's really cool.
as a culture, yeah. you know? And so I just think there's something to learn from history in the fact that Jews who were persecuted for thousands of years, they were able to stick together and persevere as a group, was for the most part because of Sabbath. And how much more for us as Christians experiencing, we don't experience persecution like they have, but we hope to make it and persevere and to pass on our faith to our kids, and they hope to pass on down to their kids for generations and generations.
Yeah.
I think there's something to learn from history. I think we should really prioritize Sabbath.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that makes me think. I'm not sure what the correlation would be, and I'm certain it's not one-to-one, but if you were to be able to somehow study, like, those who have deconstructed or fallen away in our modern context, and then research, okay, tell me about what your practice of the Sabbath was like the past 5 years, 10 years.
Yeah.
And just kind of see what conclusions you might draw from that. And if they were practicing this practice that is meant to reinforce your trust in God and your dependence on God and your awareness of his goodness and your enjoyment of what he's given you and all of that.
Yeah.
That'd be really interesting.
And I think those people might say, well, you know, I went to the church on Sunday.
Sure.
But again, it's kind of like with self-care. Self-care is how you only think about Sabbath, or if you only think about it as I go to church,
right?
Then man, you're missing out on what all this big beauty that God has in store for you.
For sure.
That is something I am reminding my kids. So they are 6, 5, and 3. They love it. They look forward to Sabbathing and are always asking, like, when's the next one? What can we do? Can we do this? But something I'm even trying to tell them now is, I hope, kids, when you go to college and we can't do this every single week, that you still hustle and work hard enough to where you still make this a thing that you want to do.
For sure.
I was just thinking, like, I love this. And growing up, we didn't, like, you know, we were church going people, but we didn't really. I think, like, my sweet parents, like, my dad would be like, well, you can't work on Sunday. And, like, that was it. And it was just like, okay, like, all right.
And again, that's part of it.
Yeah, it's for sure.
Chick-fil-A has part of it right.
Yes.
Self-care has part of it right.
Yes.
The regular churchgoer has part of it right.
Yeah.
Brandon, one question for you that I didn't have time to get to in the sermon, but I do wonder for those of us in our church family who are perhaps just introverts down to the core of who they are. Like, nothing would give them more rest than being secluded from everyone and reading or doing something.
Sure. Like me.
You know, maybe perhaps someone like you.
There you go.
Funny how that works.
When you hear about Sabbath and sort of the call for outward rest, what has that looked like for you, knowing that God's called you to do this with others and you might not be particularly wired in that sort of way?
Yeah. I mean, I think for someone wired like me, the inward part of Sabbath rest feels more attractive because mm-hmm. we're, you know, bent toward, you know, that sounds great. You know, being by myself by a river with a book sounds like a perfect way to spend a day, you know? And so I think there's a flex that's needed into, this is not just about me. This is not just about me getting whatever I perceive to be restful. Surely there might be some elements of that that are appropriate and healthy, but, the Sabbath is something bigger than that. It's the Lord's Day that's meant to be enjoyed and respected together with whatever community you have around you, your family, your life group, your church family, whatever, you know. And that's not to say you have to spend every Sabbath with your whole life group or anything like that. It's just like, this is a communal command, not an individual command. And so right. I think introverts have to realize that and see that as, so that this is actually good for me, you know, the communal aspect of it, the doing it together part of it, doing it with my kids, you know, is good for me and for them. Even if it makes it where I can't spend 4 hours by myself on a Sabbath and I'm, you know, with my kids and we're wrestling on the trampoline or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. like this is a more robust vision of the Sabbath than a hyper individualized, you know, American version of complete freedom from restriction,
yeah.
which just isn't reality when you're in a certain stage of life, especially.
Yeah.
It's just not possible. And so you better be able to rest in a more robust way that doesn't require, you know, 4 hours of me time every weekend.
I would like to think that there is some element of Sabbath that pushes people a little bit out of their comfort zone.
Sure.
I am more on the extrovert side. So the inward part is a challenge for me. I'd rather just hang out with people all the time and spending extended period of time with Jesus has been something I've had to learn to do because it doesn't come naturally.
Sure.
And likewise, I think for some folks, the idea of gathering together with God's people as being a baseline, I think might be a challenge for folks.
Absolutely.
And yes, the call is to redefine our definition of rest based off what God says.
That's right.
I also lean towards being a little more introverted, and I know a lot of like people are, and I think that's great. That's if that is like the way that the Lord wired you. But I think also in thinking of Sabbathing and how like it is a command from God, like that requires obedience. And I think like, yeah, challenging our comfort zones, kind of like with the Enneagram, like, yes, that may be the way that you were wired, but like the Lord is bigger than that. And so he calls us to be more than like our personality types in certain times. So I like the idea of like thinking outside the box or like challenging yourself to, you know, go out of your comfort zone a little bit. I think that's pretty great. Okay, well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. We appreciate each of you. And, you know, check the show notes for things that we may have mentioned. I feel like there was something else really important I'm supposed to say.
Bye.
Bye.